Everyone's experience is unique to them. This podcast contains the personal story, experience, and opinions of the speaker, rather than that of Breast Cancer Now. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of people who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers, and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer. Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. My name is Em, and today I'll be speaking with Doug and Dave. When they received diagnoses of breast cancer in 2012 and 2015, Doug and Dave found there was little to no support for them. We'll be speaking about how that affected them and what they've done to change that for men who have been more recently diagnosed. Doug and Dave, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
So could we please start by getting a sort of a quick summary of your diagnoses? So what prompted you to seek medical attention in the first place? And then actually, you know, how did you feel upon receiving the news that you had breast cancer? I don't know who wants to go first here.
Age before beauty or?
Doug's a senior man.
Go on, Doug. Far away.
Well, I had, and this is going to be common for a lot of men that listen to this, is I had what I thought was a cyst in the summer of 2011. I just kept leaving it and moaning about it to my wife. And I think she just got fed up with me moaning about it. And just about a couple of days before Christmas, she said, like, you know, why don't you just go to the GP just to, not because we thought anything of it, we thought it was a cyst and maybe there was something they could do about it because it was starting to get a bit sore. And 2 days before Christmas 2011, I went to see my GP, who I was very friendly with, brilliant GP. And we was joking and laughing about things. And I took my top off and his whole demeanour changed. And he looked serious and started typing on his computer and said, we're going to send you to the hospital for a checkup on this. And I said, you know, what I think a lot of people say about anything, even if you stub your toe, I said, could it be cancer? Really expecting the answer to be no. And he said, well, we can't rule it out. Mm. So I got a bit panicky there. But also, I didn't know that men could get breast cancer. So I didn't assume it was breast cancer. I thought, and I had no idea what it was. So he said, have a nice Christmas, which I thought, well, after what you just told me, you know, it's probably not the, you know, the most obvious thing to say. Mm. Anyway, so I went home and told my wife. I mean, we went shopping, and all the way around the shopping, I was moaning and saying, oh, it could be cancer, it could be cancer. But it, deep down in my heart, I thought, I don't think it can be, but it would just, you know, when you worry about something and you worry about something thinking, well, when I know, once I'm told the result and I know it's not that, you sort of get a relief. Mm. And I think, does that make sense? It's like worrying about something, knowing it's not that. So anyway, so yeah, I went back, I had the tests. You know, I had a scan and the woman doing the scan said, well, whatever it is, it hadn't spread. So I thought, oh, that's good, you know, whatever it is, still not thinking it was cancer. In between that and going to see my oncologist, I spoke to a couple of my friends who work in the local hospital. And I said, can men get breast cancer? And they both said, well, yeah, they can, but it's really rare. Mm. So again, I still didn't think it was. So I went to see the oncologist. And again, just thinking I was going to say it was a cyst, and he said it's breast cancer, and say it's corny, but all I heard was the words cancer going in my head, and I didn't hear anything else that was said. And so I was in a state of shock, and I was in a state of shock for a few days, to be honest. So, and that was 3 days before my 50th birthday. Mm. So rubbish present,
to say the least. Yeah. And Dave, was your situation kind of similar to that? Were you aware that men could get breast cancer before, or did you go in already thinking that it could be something like that?
No, I was aware because quite some years before I was diagnosed in 2015, I had fatty tissue on my chest, and that was checked. And at that point, the surgeon said to me, oh, no, men do get breast cancer. So I was kind of vaguely aware, but never really expected to cop it myself. And then again, it was actually on my birthday in 2015. I was on holiday in Florida and having a shower in the morning and found the lump. Now I've always been taught by my mother in particular that if your body changes, get it checked all the way through my childhood, my adult life. So I actually went to the GP as soon as I got back from my holiday. And she said, well, it's probably fatty tissue, but I'll send you to a breast cancer surgeon anyway to be safe. And then went to the breast cancer surgeon, and he said, as I walked through the door, it's just probably fatty tissue. He then did an ultrasound, and again, like Doug said, as soon as he saw the ultrasound, his kind of demeanor and face changed. And he then took a biopsy, and a week later, I was given the news that I had breast cancer, which came as quite a shock. Again, kind of touching on what Doug said, not so much the breast bit, but the cancer bit, because all those thoughts go through your mind of, you know, how long have I got? It's the first thing you tend to think of. You tend to think of the worst thing. But actually, my mother really, I think, had saved my life because I went so quickly. I was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of breast cancer. And my breast cancer surgeon said he'd left it a matter of a few more weeks. He said you would be into the ball game of secondaries and all the rest of it. Because I reacted quickly, I didn't actually get that far down the line.
Absolutely. And it sounds like both of you were actually in a minority in terms of what we normally hear from men who are diagnosed, because quite often, in the same way we hear with sort of younger women who present with symptoms, quite often they're reassured that it could probably be nothing. And I'm sure the two of you have probably heard stories from other men that you've since met that have gone to the doctors and the doctors have reassured them, oh, you know, it's probably nothing to worry about because it is so rare for men to get breast cancer.
Yeah, I would think in the people I've spoken to, probably 60% of men aren't aware that they can get breast cancer. But that's improved. I don't know about you, Doug, but that's certainly improved over the last 7 years that I've been involved. I mean, 7 years ago, even fewer people would have known.
Some of the people we talked to, I mean, I can't remember who it was, but one particular person, I remember them saying, oh, it's probably a cyst, come back in 6 months. Now, I'm not sure if that was me, because I was one of these people, I don't like the C word, and, you know, if it was on the telly, I'd turn it over. If it was in the book, you know, in a newspaper, I'd skip it. So I think if I was told that, I don't think I'd have gone back. And, you know, because I'd just thought, well, just, you know, it's as I say, it's the Peter Griffin from Family Guy sort of what he says is ignoring it, go away. And I honestly think, I don't think I'd have gone back. So I'd probably be dead now if it wasn't for my GP, who I said, like, the utmost respect for him, was a lovely fella. And I don't think I'd have gone back. In fact, he said to me, we don't, it's not a policy to actually send anyone for tests. I think it's when they're, I can't remember if it was 50 or 54 or something, that they don't generally send people for tests, which is maybe what happened to these other people. So yeah, it's obviously getting the awareness out there is really important. Hopefully it has got better.
And we will get onto that, but as you say, it's not something that is very widely known, even amongst doctors. And because of that, when you were going through your treatment, do you feel that there were any support or resources that specifically addressed you as men with breast cancer?
So in 2015, I would say virtually none. I was quite lucky that I did have my treatment because I had private medical insurance privately, and they did actually have a leaflet for men with breast cancer, which was, I think, quite revolutionary at the time. But beyond that, no, not for me.
Yeah, when I was diagnosed, my breast care nurse, who I'd say was absolutely wonderful, she said, look, I'll give you this. It's a meeting place, he said, but it's all women. You know, I understand if you don't want to go. I mean, if you do want to go, you know, it's up to you. So, and like, you know, again, it's no one's fault. It's just because, in fact, they said to me the last man diagnosed was about 2 or 3 years before me in the area. So, yeah, there was no leaflets. And I know that's changed a bit now. I know that breast cancer now has got a leaflet.
Yeah, I have to say, for me, the lack of information was secondary. What I found frustrating was the way that when you're going through a treatment as a man at that time, people were not sensitive to it. So when I went to a breast cancer clinic, and I did occasionally go to the NHS breast cancer clinic, I went there with my partner, and the receptionist would talk to my partner and not me, and just instantly make the assumption that she was the one there with the breast cancer. And that is that I found particularly frustrating. And the public, I mean, my other half said that her partner had breast cancer, and the lady in work colleague immediately assumed that she was in a gay relationship, because the individual just didn't have any comprehension that men could cop breast cancer. So that for me was more frustrating.
Wow, yeah, no, absolutely.
And I think part of it is sort of, you can't blame individuals here, because everyone's just sort of going on probability, and you know, that woman working the reception might never have encountered a man with breast cancer before, and it's just sort of, you don't even think about it when someone's approaching that desk to actually take a moment and consider, oh, actually, you know, it could be a male patient I'm talking with. And I think even the resources that you did have access to, like Doug, you were saying, you were able to go along to a group, but it was all women, and I imagine quite a lot of the resources that you were given, if you were given sort of leaflets about chemotherapy, or even accessing some of that information online, a lot of the time it probably used talking about she and her, and using and women with, and kind of just using very sort of female centric language. So I think it's, you probably felt excluded, not just by that absence of male centric stuff, but just in the kind of assumption everywhere that it is only women that get it.
Yeah,
I think certainly in the case of the receptionist, your expectations would be higher. I think it was just a lack of training. I think, you know, Doug and I have been campaigning now, you know, for quite a number of years, and I think NHS clinics are becoming a lot more sensitive. So hopefully, if I was to repeat the experience, you know, I would be walking, you know, people wouldn't make that assumption.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, since you've both been through your treatment, you have each been involved in actually trying to change that for other men, change the fact that there weren't really resources for you. And you're now part of a virtual meetup group that supports other men with breast cancer. So could you please tell me a little bit about that, sort of how it got set up, how you're involved with it, and why you believe it's so important to actually have that as a resource?
Shall I go or you, Dave?
Well, you are the founding member, so I shall defer to you.
Myself and Dr. Kerry Quincy's, who works at Leicester University, she was doing a PhD on the psychology of men with breast cancer, and she did these two-hour interviews with various men about, you know, the psychology of men getting breast cancer. And from there on, because I was saying, you know, that there was no resources for men, and I'd only ever spoken to about two men that had breast cancer. And we started thinking about getting, you know, trying to get this going. I'll be honest, I never thought this would happen and it'd be as good as it is and as successful as it is. With other charities and various other people, we managed to get it going. And they've come on board, and a few others. We trained as moderators, and let's say with the help of some other people and some other charities, we got it going. And the very first meeting was, I don't know about for Dave, but it was really emotional for me just to see all these other men that had breast cancer, and not even as the first person I've spoke to with breast cancer, the man, I mean, we didn't even particularly talk about breast cancer. It was just nice to know that there was someone there who'd gone through what I'd gone through, and just, yeah, it was really emotional. But yeah, it is going from strength to strength, and it's, you know, it's great. I've met people like Dave, who, you know, I think the world of Dave. I think he tolerates me, but, you know, so.
we make a good double act. Yeah. So I mean, Doug and Kerry set the VMU up, and then they were looking for volunteer to co-moderate. Me being me, I've stepped my hand up and said, yeah, I'll do it. I'd already been involved with another charity quite actively promoting awareness of breast cancer in men, so it kind of dovetailed in already with the stuff that I was already doing. And Doug's right. It's one of the things with male breast cancer is when I caught it, my breast cancer nurse, you know, she said, well, I'm aware of one person that we've, you know, that had the cancer 10 years ago. would you like me to put you in touch with them? And I did, in fact, touch base with them and had enough, met up in a pub, had a drink and a chat with them. But you know, that was 10 years previously. The great thing about the VMU is it brings together people who like Doug, you know, was 10 years ago. And, you know, so he's got a vast amount of experience in terms of, you know, the complete journey. But you've also got people on there who have recently completed that journey. So have gone through more up-to-date treatment regimes. And we've got people who've literally just been diagnosed. So it's a very... I think the best description of the VMU, it's like going to the pub, but not discussing football, discussing, breast cancer in men. Because you can put a group of men together, you can imagine that there's loads of banter, as there will be. And we do talk about football, actually, because we give Doug a hard time about his dodgy team that he supports. They're in the third, is it third division or is it Southern League? Anyway... there is a lot of good humour in there, but there's a lot, you know, if one of our number, and in fact one of our number mentioned to Doug that he was feeling quite lonely, and I was at a charity event at the weekend and he was there, so I was out to take him to one side and said, look, you know, don't feel lonely. You know, if you need to talk to somebody, you know, Doug or I or one of the team will give you a call. You know, always available. So it's starting to have very practical benefits.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful to hear that. Obviously, you're all meeting up virtual meetup group VMU, but to actually have that presence in the real world as well. Pandemic has made us more used to sort of interacting this way anyway, and just sort of speaking in online spaces. And I mean, hopefully, because of that, any men who do come along from now on will just sort of be more comfortable with it in a way that they can get involved, but also know that if you do happen to be at the same events, that you still have that kind of personable relationship with people, which is just so wonderful to hear. You mentioned there, Dave, that you were involved with another charity sort of raising awareness. Was that, was it Walk the Walk?
Yeah, it was Walk the Walk. So it was which are the best known for the moonwalk.
Yeah.
And they were instrumental, in fact, in assisting us with Kerry in getting the VMU off the ground. Although I would say the VMU is proudly independent of any specific charity, because we have to be. But there's quite a few of us in the VMU who have come through the walk path. But the reason for that is that when I was diagnosed in 2015, the day I was diagnosed, I went straight home and signed up to do the moonwalk in the following spring. I'd already done it once before. So this time I was doing it having actually got the disease myself. And I put on my application form, you know, I was a man doing it because I had breast cancer. And that fateful comment on an application form, 7 years later, I'm still actively involved with Walk the Walk, and through them, indirectly yourselves, breast cancer now. And actually, yes, last weekend I did the half moon, which is 15 miles through central London in the middle of the night, much to my annoyance of my feet, because they're still complaining that I'm too old to be doing this sort of thing. But and then I've gone and said yes to doing the Icelandic moonwalk next year, which is 26 miles. Wow. So, whether that'll happen, I'm not so sure, but certainly seems to be some enthusiasm for it.
But I mentioned Walk the Walk because I was wondering, you know, in that time that you've been running the VMU, just sort of meeting other people, meeting other men, talking about diagnosis and other resources that have improved. Have you seen other support groups or resources become more prevalent since your diagnosis, or even just that conversation becoming more prominent? And Walk the Walk being an example of someone who, you know, they did take that on board and now are more considerate that, you know, there are the men taking part and supporting men who have breast cancer.
I think one of the big things is the media sensitivity. So again, going back to 2015, I'd listened to BBC radio programs, and invariably, very often there'll be discussion about breast cancer, but it was never mentioned that men could actually be afflicted. And I got into the habit of, you know, if it was a program you could call into, I would always ring in and say, look, you do me a favor, just mention the fact that men get it as well. And I'll give the BBC their due. Not once did they ever turn me down. And it was either mentioned or a couple of times they said, would you mind coming on and just saying a few words about it? And now we've gone full circle, and then Doug's been working on a project with EastEnders. So we've actually got a character in EastEnders who's got breast cancer as part of the storyline. And of course, you know, with their viewership, that is a massive input. And the BBC have been brilliant. They've actually, the actors has actually come along to the VMU meetings, talked to real breast cancer sufferers, and has taken our experience away, and it's allowed him to deal with the subject sensitively. And he's playing the, from our perspective, I think Doug might confirm this, but I think he's playing the right type of character, i.e. a man who doesn't want to accept that he's got breast cancer because he's a roughy toughy man, which is working really well. You know, so you're seeing this guy go through all the emotions and the confusion. You're also seeing examples of some of the insensitivity we still see with the NHS. That's being accurately portrayed. It's very likely the fact that they're running that storyline that men's lives are going to be saved.
Yeah.
Because quite simply, people are going to sit in there going, wow, I didn't realise that we could get breast cancer.
Yeah, so first of all, you know, Ricky, who's playing Stuart Iway, just absolutely brilliant. He's really embraced it. So I've spoken to him a few times. And when he came along to the VMU, he's definitely taken note of what was said. It was good for all of us, I think, because it was uplifting for the guys in there, and it was uplifting for him as well, I think. And it went on for, it was our longest ever meeting, wasn't it?
It was, actually, yeah.
He took something out of it. We took something out of it. And even the writers have been brilliant on EastEnders. There's been a couple of really subtle things. Like when he was diagnosed, the doctor, and nothing was said about this, the doctor handed him two leaflets, and they were both females on the front. Mm. And it wasn't commented on, but that to me was absolutely brilliant. And, we've always said, you know, we needed a higher profile of men with breast cancer in this country. And we were thinking the only way we could get it was if someone famous got breast cancer. And obviously we didn't want that. Mm. You know, we didn't want anyone famous to get breast cancer. So this is probably actually better. So no one's suffering from it. And also, yeah, it's on one of the biggest soaps, if not the biggest soap in the country. And, yeah, so hopefully from this, you know, we'll get even more publicity from it. And more people joining the VMU, which could actually have a lot more people join it. We're not sure why they don't join it. Whether it's not got as much publicity, or whether, I mean, I know there are some men that find there's a stigma attached to it and think that it's a female disease, which is obviously ridiculous because we've all got breasts. So go from here.
Yeah, I think picking up on the awareness and the kind of making it very visible. I mean, we had Gabby Roslin doing the comparing at the pre-walk moonwalk show on Saturday, and I managed to catch up with her, and I said, look, do me a favor next time you go on stage, because she was doing it in sessions, would you mind just giving us a plug, expecting her to give us like a 2-second mention, she actually gave us a 2 or 3 minute kind of, and she was talking to probably about 300 men and 7,000 women, saying, look, you know, don't forget the guys get this too. And we thought that would be it, and then the following day she gave us a really good plug on the radio. And you've done stuff with her as well, Doug, I think.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Yeah, she's great. She's really supportive.
I have to say, I really admire your tenacity, Dave, well, both of you, in just sort of actually getting out there and, you know, calling up whenever the BBC mentions it, you know, getting in there and making your point and approaching the right people and actually just understanding that what this needs is attention, is something high profile. And the way that you've gone about this is just, you know, that you've been doing something that definitely should have been done a while ago, and it's fallen to you guys for better or worse, and you've done an amazing job with actually setting something up that's really going to help people.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I need to say a little bit more about breast cancer now. I mean, we've had tremendous support because we have to be very sensitive to the fact that there are only 350 men a year diagnosed. So there's a limit to what we can expect, but certainly Walk the Walk and Breast Cancer Now, they've been very sensitive to the fact that there is a place for something for men with breast cancer. And one of the things that people aren't aware of is that the survival rate amongst men is significantly lower because men just don't go to the doctor. And it's a big part of my personal kind of crusade is, you know, I don't always talk about male breast cancer. I talk about cancer in men. And I say to the guys, look, if your body changes, for goodness sake, you know, after a couple of weeks and it's not gone back to normal, go get it checked. I've lost a friend to cancer who had backache and just suffered with it, you know, and eventually went to, because it wouldn't go away, went to the doctor. It was too late. Another person who had a cough for many months didn't go to doctor. So I've never been a smoker, so it can't be anything serious. And eventually he was nagged to go and it was too late. So, you know, it's about making people aware of the wider needs or the wider problem with men get themselves diagnosed as well.
Yeah, definitely. I'm so sorry that you've lost a couple of people to, well, yes, something that may have, had it been caught earlier, could have been treated.
Yeah.
That absolutely just highlights the wider problem of, yes, not just making it known that men can get breast cancer, but as you say, just cancer in general and the importance of actually, I think you've said it a couple of times now, any changes in your body, actually going to get those checked.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I was going to ask you, and I feel like this this definitely covers it, but was saying, you know, is there anything you would like people, not just men, to know about breast cancer? And I think it's important to let women know about this as well, because Doug, I think, good example, your wife was the one that, as you put, sort of nagged you to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And so there might be, it's not just men themselves, but the people in men's lives that might be the ones that have to actually push them to go and get something checked out. So yeah, is there anything else that you'd like to let people know about breast cancer?
I think Dave said it really. It's like any change to your body anywhere, go to the doctor's. Don't be scared. Don't dilly dally. Just do it, because as Dave said, you know, it is that is why there's such a high death rate in men, is because in breast cancer, is because they don't get it checked. For either they don't know about breast cancer or they don't realise that, you know, that you need to get it checked. But as Dave says, anywhere in your body, any changes, check it.
Yeah. The other word I'd pick up on is the word fear, because. Mm. And we're talking about breast cancer, but I mean cancer in general, there is a real fear when people think that, or they're first told that they've got breast cancer, men or women. And I think it's important to say to people that it's not the death sentence it was 30 years ago. Mm. And breast cancer in particular, it's one of the most researched cancers there is. And if it is caught early, the survival rate, it was actually on the radio yesterday or the day before, the survival rate is over 90% if it's caught, you know, beyond 5-year survival rate, if it's caught early, which is why, you know, people must take note of checking breasts and bodies, must take advantage of breast screening when they get to the age that's offered to them, and also don't fear the treatment. I have one small story I will tell you of I work with a particular organization, and that I was known to, obviously, as somebody who had breast cancer. And I was told of a cleaner in the organization who turned down chemotherapy, had breast cancer, because she was absolutely terrified of it. And she just said, I can't face doing the chemotherapy. And everything, it was all based on stuff that she'd heard third hand from friends and read in the newspapers and so on. So I managed to track her down, sit her down and say, look, you know, you wouldn't volunteer to have chemotherapy, radiotherapy, but if you approach it in the right way, you take the advice that you're given by the medical profession in terms of all the drugs that will make things a little bit easier for you. It's not a pleasant experience, but it's a very doable experience. So I would say to people, you know, if you are unlucky enough to be diagnosed, do not fear it. It's, you know, most important thing is my sister works in oncology, and she says the people who survive cancer, they take the advice they're given in terms of the drugs that are offered to them. So if they say, take this anti-sickness drug 3 times a day, don't think to yourself, well, I don't feel particularly ill, so I'm not going to bother with this dose. Because if the sickness comes along and you haven't taken the tablet, it's too late. So there's a lot of self-help, but the most important thing is don't be scared of it.
Mm. spot on. I mean, the thing is, like, chemotherapy, and as we know, it affects everyone in different ways. Some people, I mean, I didn't lose my taste, for argument's sake, which is highly unusual. You can't, everyone is totally different from it. And I mean, I suffered from, I had six, I'd suffered with three of them, but I was thinking, you know, if this is doing this to my body, you know, what's it doing to the cancer? And like, just for the sake of, well, for me, it was about 9 weeks of feeling like, you know, feeling horrible. It's worth it for the sake of, you know, what it's going to do. So, and the same with radiotherapy, it's worth it for short term, or is it short term pain for long term gain?
Some really excellent points there. And thank you both of you for kind of sharing your experience and once again putting yourselves out there to actually further a cause that you're obviously both very passionate about and that we at Breast Cancer Now want to give more literal airtime to. And for anyone listening, we've mentioned the VMU so many times. How do people find it? Is it just a case of kind of looking you guys up and then people can join in? Is it a sort of opt-in thing? How does it work?
Well, we have got an email address that you could send to. He says just getting his email address up, because even though I should remember it.
The other thing is, we're actually just in the process of also putting together a website, and of course, I think very soon there's going to be a forum on the Breast Cancer Now website, which will have links through to the men's VMU as well. So, you know, we are fledgling, and we're just certain there's certain bits where we are looking to improve our visibility. Well, I don't use Twitter, I'm too old-fashioned, but I know that Doug, being the youngster he is, does tweet. So, you know, there is a presence on Twitter. So we're actually, through the various means, we can be found. We just don't yet have a website.
If you go to Twitter and type in the men's VMU and the actual, is it handle? Is that what the kids say, isn't it? The handle is at the men's VMU. But if anyone wants to email me personally, it's doug.harper@themensvmu.org. So that's anyone who's interested or wants to ask me anything. That's the best way to go about it. I did promise about a month ago I was going to set up a Facebook page. So a website, obviously, is the hopefully we'll get that up and running soon. And nearly everyone involved in the VMU, all the men involved, they've all been pretty active in some way of either working with charities or doing their own, finding their own way of you know, highlighting breast cancer. From going round, I mean, David, who was going round getting leaflets out of the back of a bus where there was only doing breast cancer for women, and he went. They said, "Oh, we've got a few leaflets," and bless him, went in the back of this bus and picked up these leaflets under a load of boxes, and went out leafleting about the men. So other people, you know, they put leaflets up in their, you know, in their local hospitals and things. Slowly but surely, we're getting the word out, and say, and thanks to a load of the media as well. But we can't have it just. We don't just want it once a year. Obviously, we want to get it out there a lot more.
We've now got a men's section on the forum, and we will be plugging the VMU in that so people can go to our website and actually have a space where they can talk to other men and have somewhere that is very particular to their needs. And I'm really pleased that we have you behind us on that and helping us along the way as well, because you have. And you know, we've thought it was quite important the whole way through to actually listen to you guys and see what you want and need. And hopefully this will be a step forward for not just Breast Cancer Now, but lots of other organisations as well, in actually acknowledging men with breast cancer and giving them the help that they need.
Yeah, thanks to Breast Cancer Now, it's just playing a blinder. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, agreed.
Thank you so much to the both of you for joining me. It's been an excellent conversation, and thank you so much in all the work that you've been doing.
Thank you, and thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much.
If you've enjoyed listening to this episode of the Breast Cancer Now podcast, make sure to subscribe via your preferred podcast provider so that you never miss an episode. Also, if you're able to, we'd love it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and perhaps recommend us to someone you think would find us helpful. The more people we can reach, the more we can get Breast Cancer Now's vital resources to those who need them.